G'day, I'm Erk, and welcome to episode 13 of Erk to the Dory Room. Erk to the Dory Room is my podcast that is a part of Channel Erk that discusses TV, entertainment. Oh, unmarked police car. We don't usually discuss unmarked police cars, but one just went past me in the opposite direction. TV, entertainment, news, popular culture, and a lot more coming to you from the mobile Dory Room on my way to my place of employment. It's been a few weeks, and the main reason why it's been a few weeks is because I was on a heavy metal music tour of the east coast of Australia, so I wasn't watching a lot of TV while that was going on. A lot of the rooms actually didn't have a TV, and any room that sort of did, I think there was basically only a couple of hotel rooms that actually did have a TV in them. I was too busy, being out and about, being a tourist, being a music podcaster, that sort of stuff. So I had a lot of TV to catch up on when I arrived back home. One place of interest to listeners of this podcast that I actually did go to was when I was in Melbourne, and I went to the actual location of the Block 2012. Now, in case you don't remember, I spoke about the Block in episode 2 from memory, and the whole idea of the show was they had four teams of two renovating a run-down property, and the whole aim of the game was to get the biggest reserve prices when you went to auction. Now, I've almost finished watching the New Zealand version. I think I've got about 3 episodes to go before I finish watching the New Zealand version of the Block, so I'll wait until that's finished to tell you my overall summary of that particular season. But it was strange in some ways to go to the location known as the Block in Melbourne. Now, the music tour that I went on basically covered the east coast of Australia. So I started in Sydney, I went up to Brisbane, I went to Gosford, Newcastle, Canberra and Melbourne. When I was in Brisbane, I was early for one of my shows and I was looking forward to having breakfast slash lunch because I hadn't eaten that morning because of some transport hiccups. My original plan was to eat at the airport. So while I'm waiting for my food, I'm overhearing 3 girls in Brisbane and they were discussing their upcoming travel plans. Now, when they say travel plans, these girls were planning to the nth degree, where I can imagine their plan would be 1750, arrive at Tullamarine Airport, 1800, collect bags from Carousel, 1810, catch Skybusters to Southern Cross Station. And it took me a while to figure out where they were actually going, because they were talking about making reservations at certain restaurants, where they were going to stay, what tours they were going to do. And then I eventually figured out that they were talking about Melbourne, which was one of the places that I was going to go. So what I did one afternoon, the music tour was actually over by this stage, and so I was recording content for my general talk podcast, ErkPod. So some of you may have already heard by this stage what I actually said on that particular episode. So the girls mentioned going to see the Block, the location known as the Block in Melbourne, and I thought, nah, I don't really want to do that. You know, I saw it on TV, there's nothing really that, I'd gain from going there. But considering that I was going down there and I was recording content for ErkPod anyway, down in nearby St Kilda, I thought, well, yeah, why not? I'll catch a tram back. It was a relatively short walk from the tram stop in South Melbourne to the Block. So I thought, yeah, why not? And I went there, and of course, I'd seen all of the inside of the house, of the houses, I should say, and the progress during the show. But it was still interesting to stand out the front of the place, see some of the places that they referred to in the series, most notably the church across the road, where one of the contestants thought that it was a good idea to go and cut tiles at 1 a.m. So that was a rather cool experience. Nobody was there, of course, and the contestants of the show, because it was filmed quite some time ago, they're back to their ordinary lives. But it was still cool to go to a location of a show that I'd spoken about this year and spent quite a time watching. When I arrived home back from this 2-week tour, I had a lot of catching up to do, because the time of the tour coincided with basically the start of the last 3 weeks of Australian Big Brother. So I had spent a lot of time watching it, of course. So before I got back into watching current episodes, I was able to go in and watch all of the previous episodes that I'd missed, about 10 or so. So I just put that above all else when it came to watching TV. Caught up in a few days, and then I went to watch the final, etc., the final week as it was happening, sort of thing. The actual grand final of Australian Big Brother, I was actually at my place of employment during the time, so I was trying to avoid Facebook and Twitter a little bit, because I didn't necessarily want to be spoiled about who won. During some of the meal break that I had, I could have actually went to a meal room and watched it, but I thought, no, I'm taping it, I'll, you know, watch it when I get home. So I thought, well, when I get home, I had to record an episode of IRC FM. So what I thought I'd do in one of the monitors was watch the final online, because that's what Channel 9 were doing. They were putting the Daily Show episodes up. So if the Daily Show was on at 7 p.m, it'd be on the website by about 11 p.m. or midnight. So I'd watch it that way. And one of the strange things about watching it that way was that, of course, the Daily Show, let's say it went for an hour, there would be 43 minutes roughly of show if you were watching it on TV, and then you would have the commercials for the other 17 minutes. So I thought, oh, online, I won't have to watch ads, that'll be awesome, and so that'd be cool. So I'm going and I'm watching the show, and I'm up to the first commercial break, and it's quite clear when they go to a commercial break, because they have the graphics on the screen and everything like that, and it's quite clear when they're coming back from the commercial, because it'll have the show's graphics again. But the funny thing was, they were trying to schedule commercial breaks, not necessarily as many, but commercial breaks that were different from the ones that were on the TV, and they were trying to insert them at the same time that they would be during the show. So you were basically watching the same thing, except the ads were different, but on at the same time. But for some reason, I don't know the reason, the ads would actually appear out of sync, and they were actually appearing after the quote-unquote real commercial, the real commercials on TV. So you'd have your commercial break, and you'd come in, and you'd just be getting ready to, you know, or you'd be watching a conversation, and all of a sudden, mid-sentence, an ad would come on, an ad or two would come on, so that was a little bit frustrating. But once you knew that was going to happen, yeah, it was still frustrating, but it was a convenience factor of me being able to watch it on my computer while I was doing other things. When it came down to the finale, I sort of had an idea based on certain people's Facebook statuses who had won, but they didn't say who'd won, they just said, you know, the person's name, and I didn't know that that meant that they were out or in or whatever, because they didn't add any context to it. So I thought, go home, watch the finale. So I go to the website, hoping to see the finale video. And not only do I not get to see the finale video because it wasn't ready, because it was a longer show, but everywhere over the website it's like, woohoo, Benjamin won! Yay, he's so awesome! You won! And so I got spoiled by the official website, so I ended up watching the finale over a couple of days, and it was typical Australian Big Brother. They'd have three people in the house, and then they'd evict one, and then they'd have the final two, then they'd have the newsreader come in and tell them all about the things that they'd missed, and, you know, they'd have the other housemates doing singing and dancing and all of that sort of stuff, and it was basically a carbon copy of any of the other Big Brother shows that they'd had. But yeah, I enjoyed the series. I think they had a bit too much interaction with the outside world. You know, getting to see and interact with their families during the show was a bit over the top. But yeah, overall, good series. There are whispers that the show will be back next year, so we'll just have to wait and see. So I finished watching Australian Big Brother. As I said, I've got about two episodes of The Block New Zealand to go. That will be finished, so that might be part of the next episode. And also what I've been watching is a show that I've spoken about before as well, called Emergency, from the 1970s. I found a website called DVDKangaroo.com, and it basically specialises in things like hard to get TV shows on DVD and all of that sort of stuff, because to my knowledge, you know, I've never seen Emergency at a DVD store, for instance. So I shelled out the $87, pardon me, I think it was $87 Australian and free postage. So I didn't have to pay any extra for postage, even though it came from Canada. I don't know how that worked, but I didn't have to pay postage. And so overall, the show Emergency went for 6 or 7 years. So now I have every single episode of Emergency that's been produced. It is over 33 DVDs, and I'm currently on DVD number 7. So yeah, I've been watching a fair bit of it. But the interesting thing is, I believe that the rights to the show and everything like that in terms of DVDs actually belongs to one of the creators. I'm not too sure on that, but sometimes that sort of thing happens where the person who owns the right has actually died, and the rights to things are held by the estate of the person. So I believe that's the case with Emergency. So what they've done to get around this DVD Kangaroo, or whoever's put it together, it's basically as if they have copied Emergency off the TV when it was on a network called TV Land, which I believe is a cable network in America. Maybe Shauno can tell me about that, although maybe Shauno's not the best person to ask about that because he doesn't have cable. But it's TV Land. So in the bottom right-hand corner, you can see the TV Land logo. At the end, when they do the credits, you can hear the voiceover saying, Now that was emergency. Coming up next, the 80. And they have something, they have some spiel like TV Land, providing you repeated viewing, because watching a show once isn't enough. We call it rewatchability. You know, things like that. And even on the bottom of the screen, sometimes it'll say, coming up next, the A-Team. It's, it, so far it's been the A-Team. But it's even got to the point where the person putting it together hasn't paid enough attention and they've, you know, they've left some of the commercials in or some of the, you know, the TV static that you used to get at the end of a show or at the end of a video. You know, they've left some of that in. So it's not 100% box set quality. But considering that, you know, I'm watching a show from the 70s, well, you know, I'm prepared to put up with that. Of course, if it was a 2012 show, you'd expect 100% broadcast quality, which this isn't. So I've been watching a fair bit of that, which is cool as well. Also what I've been watching, and I believe I talked about this in the last episode, I purchased the complete DVD box set of Outnumbered, which is a UK family comedy based on a typical UK nuclear family, husband, wife, and three kids. So I hadn't seen the first season. I was a little bit slow on the Outnumbered boat, so to speak. So I've now watched all of season one. I'm in the middle. I've finished season two as well. I'm in the middle of season three. And so I'm watching some of the funny episodes. One of the episodes I just watched was a very funny episode. If there's only one episode of Outnumbered that you watch, you should watch this one. It's where the family go to London. Now, I'm not exactly sure where in the UK they are supposed to live, but they go down to London. And part of the premise of it is to... It's to do some research for World War II, because Karen, the 7-year-old, is doing a project on World War II. And so the parents think that, you know, a good idea to help Karen would actually go to London and see some of the sites. And there's a couple of funny scenes, really, really funny scenes in there. The whole episode's probably the best episode I've seen so far. But Karen and her father, Pete, are talking about, you know, there's a prize for coming first in the project about World War II. So they're sitting on the deck of the HMS Belfast, which is a warship which is now a museum in the River Thames. And so Pete says, "Oh, what's the prize if you win?" And Karen says, "A trip to HMS Belfast, i.e. the ship they're already on." So yeah, that was quite funny. And there's another scene where Karen confuses the Lebanese people and lesbians. That's quite funny. I could hit or miss with the other two kids, the boys. And as I probably said on the most recent episode of Erk to the Diorem, you know, they can get rid of the two boys and Karen should have her own spin-off series saying, with the title, Karen Opens the Door. Mind you, with the episodes that I've seen on the DVD, I haven't seen a lot of Karen answering the door yet. That must have been a thing that they figured out later. But the funny thing about it is that you can really see how young the kids are in the first series compared to the second and the third series. So sometimes watching the special features is interesting and it tells you more about the show. And the interesting thing about the show is that the show is filmed in an actual house, and the TV company, or the producers more to the point probably, they are using two adjoining houses, and one adjoining house, or one of the houses, is where the show's actually filmed, the house that they, that the family quote unquote live in, and then the other one is basically where they have their offset time. And so the kids being kids, I had some sort of idea, but not really. You can't have them on a set all day filming. You know, you've got to give them a lot of breaks and that sort of stuff. And depending on the age of the kid, determines how much time they can actually have on set. And so they use that time for, they use that house for downtime and relaxation and tutoring the children, and you know, they've all got chaperones and all that sort of stuff. So that was quite cool to find out as well. So that's basically pretty much what I've been watching. There's a series that's come back to Channel 9 in Australia. It's called RBT, standing for Random Breath Testing, and I believe that this year marks something like 30 years of random breath testing here in New South Wales, which is an interesting thing. And what they do on RBT is that they follow police around, and also when they have RBT for alcohol, and also drug testing with the drug buses. So they follow them around, and you'd think that you'd run out of material for a while, but they always seem to find people and their excuses. It's always interesting when the designated driver ends up blowing over the limit. But the funny thing is, in the first episode that of the new series, which was advertised as a new series, at least half the show was stuff that I'd already seen before. And it was strange when you can think, oh, I've seen that episode, I've seen this guy, you know, he was the guy that thought he was okay because he was drinking light beer. Or, oh, I remember this, they had to ask permission to go over the speed limit under the Sydney Harbour Bridge to get to a boat crash. So that was rather cool. The new bits were rather cool, but I thought the old bits, it's a new series and you can't even go one episode without showing me repeats, really. So that's RBT. I'm also watching a new series of a show on Channel 7 called Highway Patrol, and it's pretty much what you'd think it was. Just driving around with members of the Highway Patrol in Victoria as they catch various people doing various stupid things on the road, as you do. But we're sort of coming up to the end of the television ratings season here in Australia, so the main networks, the main commercial networks, 7, 9 and 10, they start to put on things that they don't necessarily care about because the rating seasons are over. Things that they might have brought, but they bombed badly. Oh, speaking of being on tour, I just remembered. There was a show that I'd seen promoted, and I thought, this isn't necessarily funny, based on what I'd seen on the ads. It's supposed to be a comedy, but I've noticed this with a lot of TV shows. Maybe it's my sense of humour or my dislike of shows, sitcoms and that sort of stuff that have live audiences, where they're basically telling you to laugh because they laugh or there's a laugh track. But I saw this one particular show and I thought, it's not funny. I'm not even going to waste my time watching it. some colleagues at my place of employment were telling me, oh man, this is a really funny series, you should watch it. But based on the ads, I'm like, no way, this is just rubbish, just a waste of time. But the funny thing, when I was on tour, I was at staying with a friend of mine, visiting for the afternoon, and she says, oh, do you want to watch this show? And I'm thinking, well, okay, no worries, she wants to show it to me, not a problem. And so I watched it, and I watched a couple of episodes, and I gotta say, I enjoyed it. And so the show that I'm talking about, I don't know a lot about it, but it's Mrs. Brown's Boys. And it's set up in front of a live audience. And unlike other shows that are set up in front of live audiences, and this is one key difference that they didn't necessarily show in the ads, if an actor screws up their lines, or something happens to make it even funnier, they don't edit it out. They keep it in. Like, there was a scene there where Mrs. Brown bumped into one of the cameramen, and so they actually made that part of the scene. So I don't know how much of it is improvised. I'd probably have to watch more than two episodes to be able to give somewhat of an informed opinion about it. But I've got to say, watching it compared to actually watching the ads, two totally different things altogether. You know, watching the show in its entirety and working out, you know, what it's about and what sort of laughs you get, and, you know, the whole premise of having the live crowd and not cutting the mistakes out, totally different compared to the ad. So over summer, I think I might have to find some more episodes. But between now and Christmas, I've got plenty to watch on my Foxtel, on my DVDs. As I said, I'm probably about a third of the way through Emergency. I'm about over halfway through Outnumbered. Then I've got... what have I got? I've got season 15 of South Park to watch. Yeah, season 15 of South Park. There's a couple of other shows that I've got to watch, plus what's on my Foxtel as well. So I don't think, if I can avoid it, and I think I can actually avoid it now, I actually won't be going to the shops to, you know, go to things like DVD shops and all of that sort of stuff before Christmas. The only reason that I'll be going to the shops between now, which is mid-November, and Christmas, is to do food shopping, and that will be pretty much it. Because between now and Christmas, things get very, very manic. And so, yeah, I'll be doing as much avoiding of that as I can. Anywho, hope you've enjoyed the episode. Links will be on the show notes to the shows that we've talked about, including The Block, including Australian Big Brother, including Mrs. Brown's Boys, Outnumbered, Emergency, and yeah, that was pretty much it. Hope you enjoyed it. I've been using a new version of Boss Jock, which I hope has worked. I know the developers behind it have been doing a hell of a lot of work to increase the usability and the stability of the application. So I hope that you are actually listening to this now. If you would like to leave me feedback, you can irktothediaryroom.com is where the show notes are. You can go there, or you can interact with me on the social networks. I promise that soon I will do a feedback episode. I know Sean is enjoying it. I know Albert's enjoying it. If you're out there and if you're enjoying it, Ian from Canada is enjoying it as well. Oh, speaking of Ian from Canada, last night I was at my place of employment, and I had to wait around to move some trains around the depot. So I wasn't actually driving trains around on the network. I was just driving trains around the depot. So I was watching TV and the taking of Pelham 123 was on TV. Now, this is the 2009 version with John Travolta and Denzel Washington in it, made in 2009. I saw the movie on DVD for the first time pretty much straight after I came back from America in 2009, so I probably saw it late 2009, early 2010 from memory. And so, while there's a lot of Hollywood exaggeration over it, etc. It is a good movie, and you do identify with the characters. And you know, me being a train driver, you know, of course I could pick the faults out of it from here to Christmas. But overall, it's an entertaining movie. It's an entertaining movie. So last night it was on TV here on one of the secondary commercial channels. So I thought, oh, okay, this will be an interesting movie to watch with a room full of train drivers. But overall, apart from the occasional swear word, they didn't really say a lot. You know, they were just happy to talk through the whole movie about other things. And at some stages, it was actually hard to concentrate on the movie. But I thought, well, I've seen the movie before, I've got it on DVD, so if I really want to watch it again, well, I can do it in the privacy of my own home, and, you know, that sort of thing. But it's always funny, you get to the climax. It's in the final stage of the movie, and I get called to do some work. So I missed the end of the movie. And this, folks, oh, hello. This, folks, we do have Foxtel at the depot. Our social club actually pay for it. And so we make contributions to it. So it's not funded. It's not actually funded by the place of employment itself. So I always, you know, if I'm watching something on TV and if I'm doing one of those sort of shifts, I never expect to be able to watch something in full. And that's why, even though, like today, I know that I'm going to be on a depot-based shift where there's a possibility I could spend my whole shift watching Foxtel. Because if nothing happens, I don't have to do anything. But mind you, I could get there and at 6:15 they could call me out and they could say, okay, we need you to do X, Y, Z, and there's no Foxtel for me. Which is totally fine because I don't necessarily expect to be able to watch TV when I'm at work. Any TV that I do get to watch is a bonus. But of course, it's always frustrating coming to the end of the movie and then you get interrupted somehow. Mind you, of course, I would have been a little bit more disappointed had I have actually not seen the movie before, and I'm just getting up to a final stage, and it's like, we need you to move a train now, Irk. But, you know, that's the thing, and I know I commented on Twitter about it, and Ian from Canada said something like, yeah, it's always disappointing when you have to go and do some work instead of watching a movie. You know, something like that. Anywho, I'm Irk. Thank you very much for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. I should actually try and find the other two versions of the taking of Pelham 123. The original was in 1974, so it's as old as I am. And the first remake was 1998 or something like that. And the interesting thing was, even though the original and the remake of the remake was filmed in New York City, the second one, or the first remake of it, a lot of it was actually filmed in Toronto in Canada, which is very interesting when you try and make a Canadian city look like an American city. Although they have done that lots and lots of times. And you might remember, actually, ages and ages and ages ago, in 2011, I was on the set for World War Z, the zombie movie starring Brad Pitt, which is due to come out soon. The trailer's now out, so it'll be very interesting to compare the trailer, watch the trailer, and actually watch the movie. Even though I'm not really into Brad Pitt or anything like that, I think I'll wait until it comes out on DVD and then I'll purchase the movie. Because what they did, they made parts of downtown Glasgow in Scotland, they made it out to be Philadelphia. So it was actually easier to import a lot of American vehicles and the cast and the crew and all that sort of stuff and close down half of Glasgow compared to closing down half of Philadelphia. Anywho, before I think of anything else, I'm Erk. Thank you very much for listening. We're going to take it out with a tune, and we are going to take it out with a song called Avernus by Kater Bassist. They are a melodic metal group from the central coast of New South Wales. I got to spend a lot of time watching these guys on my most recent tour. This song is absolutely epic. I hope you enjoy it. Leave me feedback. I do read all of it, even though I haven't done a feedback show yet. Naughty Erk. Till next time, I'm Erk. Thanks for listening. And here's Kater Bassist. We'll be right back.
Time like now to get through this.